Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. I'm also the author of Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
And how are you, Cindy? I'm doing well.
Good. We had a little bit of spring today. Didn't it feel nice?
Oh, my God, it was wonderful. I walked into work, and I left my jacket in the car, and I walked out of work, and I did not regret leaving my jacket in the car.
And there was sun. Wasn't that nice?
Oh,
you know,
yes.
It just, you know, we're just hoping for a little warm weather now, you know? I've been dreaming about swimming in the bay for the last few nights, and I keep thinking, oh, the water's warm. Oh, it's warm.
Very cool.
I just think we've had a long winter now. It's time for our spring, and we're looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, how's everything
with
your
love? I can't wait for the winter to be going.
You know, someone emailed me after the last show saying, well, what's going on with Nicole's love life? How's that going? So you might want to tell our listeners.
Well, everything is going really, really splendidly. I have no complaints, you know. I don't know. It's going
good.
Well.
We don't want to hear any complaints.
Oh, yeah. Lisa and I are actually approaching next weekend. We will be together for 3 years.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's actually not even including the year that we dated, but prior to becoming completely exclusive. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's time sure flies, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that long.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Well, everybody wants to believe in love, so they just wanted to know. So I said, well, you know, as far as I know, I think it's all good.
Oh, it's absolutely good. No complaints whatsoever.
Well, speaking of significant others, I can see that my husband is on the line, and he hasn't been home all day today. So, you know, the 680 number.
Would you like to pick up Mr.
So
TJ?
So let's see. He might have something to say.
Let's see what Mr. TJ has to say. Where is he? There he is. Hello, TJ. Long time no speak.
Yes, but Nicole, Cindy, Nicole and Lisa were at our wedding, if I recall correctly.
Right, they were.
So it's been 3 years.
Right, you're right.
I had a wonderful, I remember meeting them both. They're wonderful. How are you, Nicole? Thanks for taking care of my wife all these days. I had a wonderful day.
Well, thank
day.
You for taking care of her when I'm not around.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. We played a little golf in Montauk today. It was beautiful.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, it was just really nice, and I'm really glad to hear the show. I know people are waiting. Honey, what's the good arrival time for me after the show?
Anytime you could come home, although I shot you an email. I do have readings, people coming till 10:30, so come home anytime.
Isn't that nice to hear, everyone? I can come home anytime. Anyway, on with the show.
Yes, you can.
So have a good show. I love you both, and God bless you both. Ciao for now.
Okay, bye, dear.
Bye-bye, sweetheart.
Bye, TJ.
Okay,
bye, Nicole.
Didn't look at my email that I shot him.
I just love that outfit of yours, Cindy.
I know. He's really a good guy. He's got the patience of a saint, because our house is like a revolving door all day long, people coming and going. And so, you know, he just seems to accept what is and, you know, be very gracious about it. So I appreciate that. And, you know, every morning I'm rushing him. Eat, people are coming. The poor guy.
Yeah, right. I can only imagine.
Could I chew my food? But he's really a good guy. Now, I can see we have a lot of listeners tonight. So
yes, we do.
We have a couple like Long Island people, like Florida. I can tell some of those. We also have Long Island tonight.
Yeah, actually, we've got quite a few Long Islanders tonight. So
as usual,
Cindy, I never screen the first caller. All right, so we're going to jump right into number one here. And just for those of you, actually, rather for who I'm going to pick up, just so you're aware, the last four digits of your number are 0312. You are going to be our first caller. All right, and let's see who's waiting for us there, Cindy.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's me. Cindy, it's Pat.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I said, I know that number. I just said, I know it's one of my clients, but I'm not sure which one. So how are you doing? How's Grace doing?
Okay. She's been looking for work. Very hectic, very still depressed, but we're trying. And by the way, we're going to have anniversary 6 years on the 27th.
Wow, well, congratulations. You know,
yeah.
I always thought you guys were together forever, and I guess when I met you, you're only together a few years, but I thought it was like, I don't know, forever. You know,
I guess because she's my twin flame, I guess, you know, half of the other.
Right, and that's why I said you always seemed like you were just so perfect for each other, so I never really realized that you hadn't been together for, a long time prior to when I met you. So I know you've had a few health issues, and I think they look better. Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling better.
Kinda?
Yeah, kinda. I'm all right.
Okay, good. And I'm sure you've been waiting to speak to us, so there must be something on your mind so you could just kind of shoot out a question.
Jump in there, right? Well, the question actually is kind of money. I'm trying to find out if I'm going to get a loan. I'm trying to get a loan to consolidate all of the debts and stuff for the both of us.
Okay. And, okay, that looks pretty good. From one bank, are you going to do banks?
I'm going to a Federal Credit Union.
Okay, they're usually pretty good.
Yeah.
But if you get rejected from them, that don't give up. Because what I have to tell my clients is, the banks have money to be doing this stuff. They're just not always allocating it. And so sometimes, don't take no for an answer. And have you done your own homework on the situation?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they have other available financing that they might not be bringing up unless you know about it. So, especially because you're two women. And, in business, when you should just, like, maybe pick up a bag man and put him in a suit and clean him up a bit. You might, get a better deal. Don't let them push you around because you're women, It's like, it's hard when you're in business because a lot of times women do get that sort of, not as good treatment as if a man were around. So be a little firm on it. It does look good here. But, try to, Grace has to take it down a couple of notches. In these cards, it looks like she's really, really, really a nervous wreck. Do you see that in her?
She is because the unemployment stopped completely now. So there's no money coming in at all. They're not giving her any more money at all. They said it stopped. She's got her 26 weeks.
Okay. And do you remember what I was telling her a while ago, that she should have been looking all around and not taking care of her mom, who isn't the best person in the universe? Do you remember?
Yep.
I'm only refreshing people's memories because I like to use people as an example of if we sacrifice our life for people who wouldn't sacrifice it for us. And, Grace's mother isn't the world's best person and she wouldn't sacrifice anything for Grace. I'm being kind here because we're on air. But God doesn't reward us for doing that, as you can see, because Grace isn't rewarded with a job right now.
Yes.
And you remember she said, well, her mother needed this. She had her help her mother with that. No, she has food to put on her table. And the top priority was to put food on her family's table. So, if she learns these lessons, it looks like God will be very kind to her and give her a job fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
But reinforce to her, no matter what her mom may need at this point, it's really her taking care of her family.
Well,
and
that's what I told her. Yeah.
You told her that too.
Yeah, I've been telling her that long before you did.
Right, you've been telling her.
You don't have to tell me. I already know. You don't have to keep telling me and reminding me. I already know. As if you know the one to do something about it. So that's
right.
Our little squabbles. But, what the heck. I can't help it. I love her. What can I say?
No, but it does look promising. But, again, What I try to tell people is if you're unemployed, you have to make looking for a job a top priority from day one of unemployment. You know, it takes time. Don't think because I have a little money coming in, I can go help this person, I can help that person. No, you have to help yourself sometimes.
And
I think there was some time wasted in which she wasn't doing all of her job hunting. Maybe she thought it would be easier to get a job.
So that she got a job, then she wouldn't have to take off to take care of the mother when she had the operation on the heart. So she waited until that, and the mother didn't have the operation until November.
Well,
so she was scheduling it, then the mother got sick, so I had to postpone it, and wind up, long story short, she didn't have the operation until November. And Grace didn't want to have a job and then have to take off and get a chance of being fired because she had to take care of the mother for the operation and be in the hospital there in that time. So that's what she did.
Right, but again, you know, I can't stress enough, you know, if we have people who keep asking us to sacrifice our life for them and go into debt for them when they haven't done much good for us, no good comes out of that from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The universe sees us as a martyr, sees us, you know, as a person who hasn't learned certain lessons. And, you know, her mom could financially help her in this situation, and she's not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if she were my daughter, and I had to get a heart operation or something, I would tell my daughter, well, you're not working to help me, but I have my money that I could help you with the mortgage, with the taxes, with everything else. Did her mom do that?
No. Well, the mother finally went ahead and had to pay it because Grace didn't have any money, so she wound up doing that. And just recently, she started saying, I don't have any money to do this or that. You want money? You want to go anywhere? You have to put money. Give me money and put it in the gas for gas. I don't have anything. So she started to give her some money now, and only because
Her aunt
was screaming at the mother, why aren't you taking care of your daughter like you should? You're no good. She's always taking care of you. You're not doing anything for her. You know, she's not working. So the mother finally, I guess, gave in and started giving her a little bit of money and stuff to go to, the, you know, to put gas in the car, stuff like that.
Okay, but, you know, just tell Grace her priority is her daughter, you.
And
getting that job, and really her mom's, you know, old. You know, mom's lived her life the way she wanted it. And, you know, when people die, and if they've made us sacrifice our life for them and go into financial ruin, it's not good karma for her mother's immortal soul either, because God will ream her mother for that. So, you know, if she's concerned about her mother, concern herself with her mother, has some karma to be making up, and, you know, to learn to help others and not just take. And, you know, it's time her mom learned some of that, too.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it
does look good. I mean, everything looks like she should be getting a job sooner than later. The refinancing looks pretty good. Again, but don't get discouraged just because one bank says no.
Okay, I have one other question for you. I've been playing the lotto and the lottery and the Mega Millions and all of that, and every time I'm coming up with numbers, I come up with the right, correct numbers, but I get like three on one line and two on another. I can't seem to get them together.
Because God doesn't just dump money in our life lap for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell people, don't count on lotto as a way of getting out of your debt.
I'm not counting on it. I'm just saying, is there something going with my brain that I can't seem to get them together on the one line?
Well, I think it's just that you're not supposed to be winning right now.
Okay.
Again,
in my heart, that I am going to win. For some strange reason, I keep saying I'm going to win the lottery.
Yeah, so does a lot of people. So do a lot of people. And I'm always telling people, you want to win lotto, work hard, make money, you know, do what's right, but don't bank on lotto so much.
No. I don't do it all the time. I just like to play every now and then. If I think about it, I'll go and I'll play it.
Okay, but
right there, but I don't seem to get them together.
Well, I guess it's not your time to win it. And
that's
again, sometimes we earn some miracles and things like that, and we get a little good luck that way. But again, Grace doing what she did wasn't good karma. Again, because her mother didn't care that this put her in financial ruin. That isn't the mother. Mothers do not put their children in financial ruin, good mothers.
That's what she wants to do. She wants to ruin her financially. She doesn't want her to have a penny. She wants her to live off of her so she can tell everybody that she's taking care of Grace. She wants her to be destitute is what she wants.
No, she also wants her to be there for her beck and call in case she needs something. So yes. In making her indebted to her. And just that's something that really doesn't sit well with the universe. And again, you know, we've been talking to Grace for about 3 years about this situation and that she's still very loyal to a fault. And she's, you know, sees loyalty as a one-way street. You know, she has to be loyal to her mother, but there's no loyalty going on her mother's side to Grace. And loyalty is a two-way street. We have to be loyal to people who deserve our loyalty. And, you know, unfortunately, I talk to a lot of dead people, and they have a lot of regrets that they put their children in financial ruin, these narcissists that, you know, made their children sacrifice the last few years from them. And they have to watch their children in debt from this. And there's
about this. He's probably having a fit.
Right. And her father is having a fit. So, you know, do me a favor and go to the bank. Keep going on that. Don't give up until, you know, you get the refinancing. And, you know, who knows? Maybe going about this refinancing, maybe Grace will see a job opportunity where you guys are going. So keep your eyes open and be really proactive. Is she being more proactive to find a job?
Do you think she'll get it in a couple of months?
Yeah, but again, is she just looking online for jobs, or is she doing a
going
little
around,
more?
I went to the school yesterday at the administrative office, but they said they weren't hiring anything, maybe not until June or July. Maybe they might. But she went to a few places and put in her stuff there. But so far it hasn't worked.
Right. Well, just, you know, keep her eyes open and her ears open. And anyone who's collecting unemployment, it is not there for you just to, you know, think, okay, when I want to find a job, you know, 2 months from now, I'll find it. It does take that 26 weeks or longer for people.
Yeah, and, I know. And they cut it off, so they're not extending it to them anymore either.
Well, and, you know, just know that was unfortunate that they cut it off, but it looks like she will get a job, so I'm not nervous about her.
You see where? Like, is it going to be still in the insurance company again? Like,
well,
she do?
She's customer service. Is that what she is?
She was working for Liberty Mutual in the insurance business originally. She can do bookkeeping. She can do other things, but her last job was with Liberty Mutual in the insurance department.
Okay, just... You know, tell her to you know, make her resume so that she can, you know, be available for other types of jobs. So, you know, she has maybe two different resumes, one for insurance and one for, like, other type work. Because what they're saying now is people need two or three different resumes.
Oh, really?
One doesn't just work anymore. You know, one has to be geared for the insurance. One could be more generalized for other office and other skills so that, you know, she really – putting out, depending upon the job, tweaking it. It's pretty easy to tweak it now because of the word processor, doesn't, you know, computers. In the past, it was hard. You know, you just typed up a resume. It wasn't that easy to go in and tweak it a bit. But see if she can tweak it, especially if it, you know, if a job is stressing, you know, sales or bookkeeping or something. She has to stress those things in that resume.
Yes, and I told her she should stress what she speaks. She speaks English, she speaks Italian, she speaks French, I mean, yeah, French and Spanish. Put that all in because I think that helps her.
Well, great. Maybe, you know, maybe she can get a job as a translator or something, too, in banks or other places.
Yeah,
so, you know, she's forgetting she has her skills. We forget the skills that are right under our nose. We take them for granted that everybody has them, and they really don't. So if I were her, I would really start looking up even jobs, looking for bilingual people.
Okay.
Because they usually pay a little better. And, she, you know, she might find herself doing very well there. So, well, call in again and let us know what happens, by the way.
I will, sweetie. Thank you for taking the extra time with me. I really appreciate the help.
Oh, I know. You know, I love you, too.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to tell you this. When I speak to you, I feel very good inside. I love to hear your voice. You're very good. You're very calming to people.
Well,
you
I just
very,
try to...
And
I'll tell you, I look... And if I'm not calm to a person, they also know, oh, my God, it's bad. And in your case, I'm not saying that at all, you know. And if it seems like I was giving her a little lecture, it's because God will keep teaching us those lessons. And when I warn people about certain things, I don't want to see that the same things are still happening. But if we don't learn the lessons, then we're stuck in the same place over and over again.
But that's her problem. She's too loyal. She just feels that no matter what she said, it's still my mother. Even though I can't do anything about it, it's still my mother. I have to, you know, God says, you know, respect your mother, your father, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well, again, I'm not so sure that was exactly what God said. I think it's God said, honor your father and mother if they're good to you, but if they're abusive, all bets are off. I think that's probably closer to the truth than, you know, because people, you know, tend to have half a statement. My country right or wrong is only half the statement. It was closer to if my country, you know, is right, you know, so be it. If it's wrong, make it right. They didn't say just, you know, honor your country no matter what they do. That wasn't the whole statement. So a lot of times what people do is take half a statement and then wave that half flag for us. So, you know, we've been trying to tell her, you know, the lesson. And you can see her 3 years of martyrdom for her mother has not yielded good things, has it?
No.
So if that's really what God preached, then Grace would be blessed with abundance. Grace would be blessed with, you know, health and prosperity. That's not what's happening to her, is it?
No.
So,
all the money has been decreased thanks to this one.
Right. And that's why, you know, now I think she's, you know, going to be on her knees over this. And eventually, you know, people have to understand, you know, if God wanted her to be taking care of her mother, you would have won lotto. Grace would be a gazillionaire and wouldn't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be great, God's way of saying, okay, now I give you money. You could, you know, sacrifice your life for your mom at this point. But that's not what's happening to her. She can't afford to do this.
Yeah.
And warn her on that a little bit. And, you know, of course, let me know when she gets a job. Okay. I have to be the first to know.
You're so cute. Okay, yes.
Okay.
Just the second to know, I guess, because I'll probably be the first to know. So you'll be the second
to know. Okay, I could be the second. And now we're going to have Jane. You should listen to Jane because she's been having a very hard time with work and the whole bit, too. So you're not the only one in this boat.
Oh, boy. Okay, sweetie. Thank you very much.
Okay, good luck to you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, now we have Jane, and maybe Nicole can, she's not.
Of course. Well, Jane is calling, as always. And she needs a follow-up, Cindy, because she had a very disappointing week. She's starting to lose a little bit of faith, and she's trying to stop that from happening. So she's calling you to kind of restore that faith. So let's see what Jane has to say and why her week was so disappointing.
I know.
Hello, Jane.
Hi.
You are on the air.
Hi again.
Hi, Jane. Did you get your blood pressure down?
Not yet. I'm going to try something else tomorrow. I went to the doctor today.
Okay. And again, blood pressure, you know, literally a stroke is blowing our brains out. We don't blow it out with a gun because that's not nice, is it? But we'll
blow it. Messy.
You wouldn't do that to me because you know that I'd have to kill you and I wouldn't speak to you when you're dead if you did that. But you might blow your brains out with a stroke.
A stroke is
a literal blowing of brains out. And I know you've been so stressed out money-wise, and it's like Grace, the woman before, getting sick over this money situation, stressing out, and you don't have much of a support system. And, you know, when I was telling Grace that, you know, she can't sacrifice her life for her mother, you know what your dad is like.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't help you at all.
No.
And, you know, it's very hard for people to understand, you know, why we got these parents. And this is just to learn some lessons, and some of them be loyal to people who deserve our loyalty.
Yeah.
And for you, your support system is really lacking here.
And
but
in the meantime, I think I'm creating negative karma already by mooching off of my friend. I have, you know, I'm still there.
Again.
In her house.
I know you think you're mooching in the whole bit. But you really have not much choice at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, you didn't get the job in Florida. Is that what you said in the email today?
They sent me a cryptic message. Part of it was like a form letter saying that although your credentials, something to the effect that your credentials are impressive, it's not quite what we're looking for at this time. And then in the next paragraph she said, and this looked more, less like a form letter, she said, when you're in Florida, contact me because I'm going to be interviewing for this position again. I have no idea what that means except that the fact that they're trying to find a better fit and they'll take me as plan B.
Or is it that they have so much turnover that nobody actually stays?
I don't know. I did hear that. Not hear that. I did read that on Glassdoor reviews. It's it's a place with disgruntled ex-employees vent. And
right.
It doesn't seem like it's the best place to work in the long run, but, you know, in the short run, it would be a great thing to put on my resume. This particular position was, you know, and it would be a way to get down there.
Well, and I would tell you, you probably have a good chance of getting it when you get down there. Maybe they just needed somebody immediately, but the point is, she thinks that job will be available. It will, but you can't go down there without a job, so you're sort of in a catch-22 there.
Yeah, there's something else I've been trying to get through too. It's a writing job, and the woman I was dealing with is missing in action. She was supposed to be evaluating my spec article. And this has been going on for 4 months.
Well, people tend to move like snails when it isn't their life.
Yeah.
But, again, in terms of, you know, you first of all, you got to get your blood pressure down, and part of it is, you know,
I'm going to have to go back on some med, yeah.
But again, sometimes it's just revamping some of your own mindset so that you're not so panicked out every second. Because you can't panic. You're panicking every second. Are you aware of that?
I'm not panicking so much as I'm internalizing this anxiety to the fact that I think it's like you know, it's aging me very quickly.
Well, you know, we'll age anybody. What I see here for you is, again, trying to get your thoughts a little more peaceful with the roommate that you're, the person that you're rooming with. Is she having a little more compassion for you?
No. She's not going to throw me out because she's not a vicious person. And, you know, not that she's not. I think she's trying to, but inside she's seething. You know, and her son, too. Her son is not happy because he likes his space upstairs. So, you know, he has his own, you know, I have a separate room, obviously, but and a bathroom. But it's still, like, the money is just, like, I'm working, and the money is not adding up to even an apartment. And I'm supposed to see, just to see an apartment in an area I'm not really thrilled with, either tomorrow night or Saturday. And you know, it's going to put me back to where am I going to get the rent from? And just, you know, this whole job.
Okay,
worst karma
would be to take an apartment you can't afford.
Yeah.
Because the universe doesn't look well upon people not paying debts.
Yeah, so, no, I thought that I was going to be able to pick it up, but my medical bills this week, you know, that added up. I have insurance, but, you know, the copays are high.
Yeah, no, of course.
And this happened and that, and you know, so, and now I'm looking at my, just when I was on hold, I was looking at my checkbook because I'm outside the bank, and it's not there for 2 months' rent. Like, if I were to rent an apartment for $1,000, I'm not going to be able to give her 2 months' rent on Saturday.
Right, and that's why energy might be put into job hunting in Florida. I mean, really, I know that she wants you out of there, but it's not realistic for you right now.
Yeah.
And that's probably all the stress. I mean, you can't, go down to your last penny.
But it's not her job, really. Like she pointed out, she's not my parent. And she's hardly ever home, but it's still her house. And it's hard for me, too. I'm so craving a place to go home and relax. It's been a long time since I had my own apartment all my life, except for a brief marriage. And my adult life, and I'm just so craving. I'm sitting in the parking lot right now talking to you, so I don't have to be there.
Well, do me a favor and
keep
doing your resumes in Florida, because you were saying you wanted to go to Florida, right? You want to send them to Florida.
Well, I think I'll be better off there. I think, like you said, that there was a soulmate waiting for me down there.
Right, it's a soulmate, and there actually looks like a decent job there.
And,
you know, a nice place for you to start over.
Well, yeah, this one or another one, you mean? Another one?
Yeah, a nice, it looks like a nice beginning for you. But you also have to have
a little. Yeah. Like, would I get a sale before I go down?
Yeah, if you keep looking very hard now, that's what I said, keep doing what you're doing. Look for that job down there first so that you can go down, and because you need money to do that too.
Of course,
so,
yeah.
That's why if you don't have any money, you spend 2 months rent here or 3 months, how are you going to have any money to go to Florida with?
I won't. And it's just, you know, because I work hard. And it's you know, I don't want to give away again what I do right now because people will forget in this way, you know.
Right.
But you know what I do, and it's
right.
It's notoriously low paying. That's so notorious that someday it's going to change. But, you know, there have been articles written about it. Yeah.
Not right now enough to make your life better.
Did not, exactly. And yesterday was a whole, I actually found out that, you know, a coworker sabotaged something maliciously. That's all I'm going to say right now. But I did have a little support with that. I, you know, the person I report to did acknowledge that person is a problem.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Not the only one. I'm not the only one that has had a bad experience like that. So, you know, so she did some harm. Let's put it this way.
All right. And what you're going to do? Wait, just
I'm fixing it. I fixed it. More,
good girl.
More or less.
And also, again, I know you're losing faith, but part of it is just staying positive. You know, when we start getting our blood pressure spiking, it's sort of a death wish. We just don't want to be here anymore. It's enough. And,
well,
and,
yeah, I took the medication that the you know, the other condition I have, the more serious one. He said he's more concerned with the blood pressure, and he gave me a different medication, and I think that actually backfired on me because I've been taking it. I was, you know, compliant, and I took it, and it ended up last night. I ended up stupidly going to the work infirmary, and they held me hostage for 2 hours. I didn't know I could just get up and walk. I mean, I know, I guess I could have, but so it added to the whole stress. Like, I just wanted them to do me a favor and confirm with the reading that I had gotten at lunchtime.
Right,
on my own. And,
right.
Oh,
and
what a nightmare that was.
Again, just know that when you're under stress, the blood pressure spikes, and that's so showing some of it. And that the best thing you could do is take some deep breaths, relax, and just put in your mind that 3 months from now you're in Florida and your life is better.
Will I be there sooner than that, though?
You could be, but again, you know, realistically, you have to get a job. So,
yeah.
So that takes a little time. But
try
not to have this feeling that
what
you're doing is you feel like there's a gun at your head all the time. Like, you know,
and
that isn't helping you any.
No.
So, you know, give yourself, you know, I'm going to be out of here. I'm getting a job. Things will be better. Just know that the next few months will be better if you just take it down a little bit. I'm a little worried that you're making yourself sick.
I'm trying to breathe, and I'm not deliberately making myself sick. But,
no, of course not.
Yeah, I did go to the cardiologist today, and I am going to be good, and I'm going to take the alternate medication he gave me a sample of just to get it down, and then I'll worry about it, whether or not I want to continue or try alternate treatments. But I do think it does have to come down, even if I do take the toxic medication.
Right, and again, it's also because of, you know, the stress in your, you know, the stress in your life is driving it up.
So,
do me a favor and email me, like, when you come back from, you know, whenever, in next week or so, in the next few days, let me know how you're feeling. It does look like your blood pressure will go down. Your health will get better, and another job will be on the horizon.
And
Florida, keep looking Florida. I don't see New York. I see Florida.
You do. Okay, so I'll just keep focusing on that one, you know, instead of going back and forth. So I'm going to look at this apartment just to see if I could stall her in case something happens and I have something, you know, to think about, even though she's going to want an answer. Again, I can't see how I'm going to afford it and also to have to, you know, buy a few things and, you know, and then I'm not going to have the income to cover it. It's really pathetic. I mean, it's pathetic. And, you know, I also think that I'm not doing enough. But I don't know what else to do, you know, that I'm not doing enough to make the money. But, you know, the age is a factor, challenge, you know, it makes things harder.
Well, there's ageism in America.
What?
There's definitely ageism in America.
Oh,
that's why I'm an advocate of people working for themselves because age doesn't factor in there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Eventually.
I actually used to, this doctor I went to today, he wanted me to work in his office and he wanted to charge me a lot of rent, but it just didn't work out. People don't pay, they don't pay in that situation for what I do. You know, they don't,
wow.
The coach type of coaching I give. So it didn't work out enough to pay the exorbitant rent he wanted anyway.
Oh boy.
So that's not going to happen. So it's got to be something else. You know, if I could relax, maybe I could open up the creativity in my head. But
that's what I'm saying. You need to relax. And when you relax, doors open. When we panic, doors slam shut. That's the way panic works. So just take it down a little bit of a notch. Things look good in the near future, not tomorrow. So don't expect miracles tomorrow. Just expect that the health looks much better. Your pressure will come down.
Okay, and the timing is still good for my next reading?
Yes, it is.
And you last week you said you thought something was going to come up by then.
Right, so I still think that too.
That would be great. Okay, I'm going to keep plugging away. The only thing I do is look online. I don't know what else to do on Career Builder, the different websites for the type of place where I'm working now, which I'm not going to say, and, you know, look at, you know, whatever openings there are, but this one just kind of fell on my lap. And I don't know, I mean, they said we'd like to interview you when you come down here. What does that mean?
Well, you'll try that.
What does that mean?
Well, that means they would give you an interview if you went down.
Yeah. But I can't come down there without a job, so.
Right, it's not a banking on it. Well, anyway, I want to try to get some other callers. Good luck to you. Let us know how you feel. You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, thanks, and good night, Nicole, and thanks again. Okay, bye-bye.
Good night, Jane.
Now, can you see a lot of our calls tonight have been about finding work, jobs?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Did you see the theme tonight?
I find tonight like very, very, this definitely seems to be the theme tonight, but what I found completely ironic is that whenever I do the radio show, you know, I'm usually like by my mom's house when I'm doing it, you know, and my mom is always rolling in and out of the room, you know, while all of this is happening and you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes she'll sit there, she'll listen a little bit, you know, she'll make her little commentary about, oh my God, you know, well, what about this and what about that? And then she'll walk out of the room, you know, but tonight she was actually sitting next to me while I had the call going. And it was not even Jane's call. It was the last call when you're talking about not sacrificing yourself for your mother. And my mother happens to be sitting in the room, and my mother happens to be going through the same exact thing where I call her my grand monster, where she, you know, was, you know, my mother took her in. She was incredibly abusive for my mother's entire life. You know, this woman is a cancer survivor that the universe has bestowed so many chances to just make things right upon. And you know what, Cindy, she is what you would call an unfixable person. And my mother insists on feeling like she's got to do her daughterly duty, and well, that's her mother, and, you know, and continues to this day to sacrifice for this woman who does not deserve it, you know. So that I found completely ironic because my mother never, ever sits down and joins me for the show. She kind of just lets me do my thing and meanders in and out. So when the night that she actually joined me, boom, you guys were talking about Grace and that whole situation, and it completely tied into my mom. And my mom was kind of like looking at me like, you know. And then as far as Jane goes, you know, so with the jobs and everything, I mean, obviously everybody is freaking out, you know, about jobs. A lot of people are doing that. A lot of the callers are doing that, you know what I mean? And it's completely, completely natural because, you know what, it's like almost like if you don't find that job, you feel like you're going to drown in a sense, you know. But at the same time, though, and we tell Jane this time and time again, Jane, to stay out of your own way. The more you worry, the more of that stuff is going to come back to you. You know, if you keep saying to yourself, you know what, why does this always happen to me? Guess what? The universe is going to say, okay, I don't know, until you figure out, I guess I better keep making this happen to you. You know, you get out there. If you would stop and let go of that skepticism and just for once believe it and say, you know what, I've survived this far, everything will be all right. Guess what? Everything is bound to be all right.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's just also.
And what I find, and it, what's,
very funny about that, Cindy, and then I'm going to let you finish,
sure.
Is that the last time Jane was on the phone with us, I said the exact same thing. And the way that I said it was that, you know what, we all get into those fits where we want to go and retreat, where we try to make that move, and then we go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, because now we feel like we're at the edge of that cliff, and then we back up. Or we make a little bit of a change, and it's like, oh, it's not working out, and then we back up to where it's comfortable. And you know what? I said it to Jane last time, and that's exactly what she's doing right now. She's getting afraid. She's approaching that cliff, and then this first sign that things are not going, you know, according to her plan, she's retreating back to where she's comfortable, which is the worry and the stress and, you know, and everything else that embodies that.
And it's always the that sort of victim consciousness. And,
yes.
You know, that's why I stress over and over again, there's no loyalty between employers and employees anymore. Loyalty is a one-way street in corporate America.
Yep.
And governments aren't job banks. Corporations could give two craps about you. So eventually people are going to have to figure out other ways to make a living. You know, create something. And it's never been easier with websites to create something. You don't even need a lot of advertising.
Absolutely.
So I'm a firm believer in people trying to figure out what they can do on their own outside of corporate America to make a living. And,
well, you know what,
you know,
Cindy? It's not even only outside of corporate America. Sometimes get out of the box. You know what? If you are, let's just say, an administrative assistant, okay? You know what? You might be better suited for something that's completely not even nearly associated with being an administrative assistant. But if you go out there and only look for those kinds of jobs, it's a complete mismatch. Guess what? You're not going to get what you want because you're not geared toward that. You're probably geared toward something else, but you've got blinders on and you're not looking for that something else. You know, you're not looking in those directions because you're just like, oh, but I'm a secretary. I'm an administrative assistant. That's what I need to be. No. You know what? You might be a great manager someplace else. You might be in a completely different field, you know? And I actually, for my job, you know, I had to go through this training program where they tell you what type of personality you are. And they also tell you, you know, it's like this whole big series of stuff. And it's kind of like a test, you know? You take the test, there's no wrong answer, and it kind of categorizes you a little bit. You know, and it says that in the four personality types, you know, that there's a little bit of each personality in us. It's just a question of what's more dominant and what's more, you know, like almost recessive, you know. And basically in this test, you know, the woman was talking about how, you know, this one company that she dealt with, all of the workers were always talking badly about their boss and this and that and everything else. You know, he was always yelling, he was always screaming, he was always stressed out. You know, he was always worried about something. He was never happy, you know, going on and on and on. Meanwhile, their boss took the same exact test that they did, and he came out with a personality that they said was completely the opposite. Oh, that's not him. That's not him. And you want to know what the outcome was? The overall answer was, no, that is him. But when that type of personality is in this type of job, that is the result. You get stressed and you get angry and you get worried. And you know what? You're just doing something that's not suited for you. You're like wearing clothing that doesn't belong to you. You're wearing skin that doesn't belong to you. You got to sometimes find new skin, guys.
I know, and it's trying to get people to understand there's no shortage of work or money on this planet.
No.
You just have to figure out what needs doing and do it, and not allow people to treat you disrespectfully. And I know with the interview process, it's very degrading. You know, Grace is a little bit older. You know, I think she's in maybe her early 50s or Jane is 60, although she looks 40. It's very hard to be going job hunting when you're 60 and have people who are 30 treating you with disrespect, not giving you answers. And I think because of a lot of it going to the resumes going to slush piles where you never see a human being, that people are feeling more stressed out. I mean, it used to be you would have a human respond to you or get a thank you note for your resume. You get nothing now. And I think that's very discouraging. Right, and it's very discouraging. And I think for a lot of people, that's what's going on.
But look, you know, I can't stress enough, when I got out of college in 1975 with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Theater, it was a pretty useless degree at the time, I had no choice but be creative and create businesses. And that's what I did. I finally, you know, I worked waiting on tables for a while. I worked, and all I heard there was what a bad economy it is. Meanwhile, I'm working in restaurants where the meals were expensive and these people were rich. Don't tell me it's a bad economy. All I kept figuring out is somebody's got money. The people coming into this restaurant have money. Let me find some of that. Instead of going the opposite, oh, look at all these people, what they have and I don't have, I thought, if they have it, I can have it too. There's must be money out there. So we
You have to go out there with this kind of mindset. Go out there and look at the world and say, you know what? The world owes me money, and now it's my job to go out and get it all back. Okay.
Exactly.
The world out there has my money, and now I need to get it back. You know.
Exactly.
That's the way that you have to go into things. And you know
and
what?
Again,
it's like one of those things. What's that?
If you're going to work for somebody in this millennium, expect every 3 to 5 years to be out of work. Just when you get to a level that they should pay you more, they're going to lay you off and hire somebody else lower, because that's the way corporate America is set up now. And if you could sit and say, I can't believe it, I worked my ass off for 5 years and now I'm laid off, you could sit and whine and complain, but I'm telling you, that's the world now. So, you know, get with that program and figure out how can I step off that treadmill and get off of it, because I have way too many clients working 24 years, supposed to get a pension at 25 years, and they're laid off at the 24th year. I mean, come on.
Oh, of course.
So get used to it. It is no, there is no, and maybe it'll change. Maybe if enough people get off the treadmill, they're going to have to pay people better and treat them better, because you ain't going to have anybody doing those jobs. So realize that, you know, it's a different world. The values that we were raised in, be loyal, work hard, you'll be rewarded, don't necessarily work in the 21st century in corporate America.
Nope.
They do work in your own business.
Unfortunately enough.
They do work in your own business. So, again, think outside that box. Figure outside the box if you're going to work with for corporate America. Realize that, you know, maybe if your writing on the wall tells you this job isn't secure, it's not. And start looking before you're laid off.
Oh, yeah.
How about this?
How about just always keep, you know, keep both feet in. If you're happy where you're at, keep both feet in, into where you're at. But at the same time, keep an open mind. Keep your options open.
Exactly. And, you know, I think we should take another call. We have Rose, but I'm just trying to get people to really stop playing victim. Get angry. Put on your big boy pants and get out there.
Get disturbed about things, because you know what? If you sit there in complacency, you're not gonna have the motivation to do anything. But you know what? If something really starts to nick at you and bother you, you know what? You're gonna be motivated to do something. So you know what? Get disturbed about something. Get motivated and do something about it.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes for me, I couldn't afford not to work or find work. I couldn't afford to be out of work. I've never been out of work. I mean, but I'm not above having done a lot of jobs I really didn't want to do. And sometimes you just got to do something you don't want to do for a while on your way to find something you do want to do. And the universe rewards you. Even if it's a job that's below what you can do, it isn't what you want to do, do it to the maximum effort. Do your best job. The universe rewards that. You know, no matter what, you've agreed to that job, do it your best that you can. And that's all you can do. And eventually something else comes around.
It really does.
So, you know, there's no shortage of work on this planet. Really, there's not. We just have to figure out what needs doing and do it. Because the one thing that I've never had a shortage of is work. Every time, no matter how many times I've reinvented myself, work's at my door. So,
oh my God! Well, you know what? I hear that, Cindy, and I'm right in your boat with that, where that's concerned. So,
you know what I'm talking about. Eventually,
I know exactly what you're talking. I've done everything from music to, you know, I opened up my own home improvement company, and then I worked in bars. I was an electrician for a while. I've done a ton of different things. I had a consultation business. You know, I own video game stores. I mean, I've done a little bit of everything out there, and I'm fascinated to do everything, because I was always the kind of person that never, ever wanted to rely on anybody else. So if it came down to learning something, I just learned it. This is why I didn't have to depend on anybody else. This way I could go anywhere I want. And you know what? Finally, after doing something like you said, you know, sometimes you just have to do things that you know, maybe might be below where you think you're at. And you know what? I did what I had to do, and I didn't like it. But you know what? I made the best of it while I was there. And then when it was time for me to when I was approaching that crossroads where I was either going to go and stay and be complacent or I was going to move forward and do something else, guess what? The universe brought me full circle, gave me, you know, a job that even though, you know, I've said this before, you know, I'm not thrilled with it. You know, but you know what? A job is a job, and, you know, you do what you got to do or whatever, and I like the people that I work with and et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? It brought me full circle because now I always wanted to be, you know, in the writing field. I always wanted to do something with my writing. And where did the universe grant me a job? You know, with a publishing company. Hello? You know, I might not like entirely what I'm doing, you know, as far as like the textbook aspect of it, but I've got access to every major publisher in the United States.
Wow.
You know, so talk about full circle.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
You see?
Interesting.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, I didn't think about that until after the fact because I was like, you know what? I'm like, I'm not feeling this. They're not challenging me. They're not doing this. They're not doing that, you know? And I really, really wasn't feeling it. You know what? And then it dawned on me when you kept telling me, you got to be writing. And then I started picking things up and I started finishing things and I started investing more time. And I'm like, you know what? If I was not working where I was working, I never would have been able to hang out with my friend Tina. And had it not been for me having the available time, because me and Tina never really hung out, had it not been for me and Tina having the available time because of where I was working, where I hated it, and I was working, you know, for my icky friggin' grand monster, you know, guess what? I would not have been with Tina. I would have not have heard about the position in this particular company. I would not have gotten the position in this company had she not recommended me. And then in addition to that, I got full circle back into the literary world, and I have access to all of these publishers now. And I'm making very, very good friends with these people as well. So it's really, really
good
nice.
Good for you, and that's a foot in the door.
That's
a foot in the door. And
absolutely.
It's who you know sometimes. It's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's do
exactly.
Rose. Let's take her as our last
yes.
caller, I think.
Absolutely. And now Rose is in Long Island as well, Cindy, okay? She wants to know if anybody's coming through for her because she's in the middle of an absolutely dreadful divorce. And she wants to know, you know, does she have anybody guiding her on the other side? And is there anybody sitting on her shoulder? And is there anybody kind of just looking out for her right now in this kind of, you know, messy time in her life?
Okay.
And if they're looking out for her, she wants to know, what do they think she should do?
Okay, good.
Hello, Rose. You are on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Rose. You've been through a lot, huh?
Yes. Do you remember me? I do have laryngitis right now.
Yeah, I know. I've been coughing myself. I've been talking too much today, so I get it. You are Rose from what town?
Yapeng.
Yes, I know who you are. Okay. So I thought that was that Rose. Okay, just checking. Now, I know your divorce is going hard, but I do see a soulmate in the future, by the way. So that's something good, that when you leave this, there's something better. Don't let him make you crazy, because I think he knows he's pushing all your crazy buttons.
Yes, he is. He is.
And
I just want to know, like, who's coming through. I just put the house finally over. It's been over a year. I finally put it up for sale today.
Okay, good. Whose mom has passed away?
Both of our moms.
Okay, because I heard two moms, and I thought one was his and one was definitely yours. But your mom is funny because she's so damn angry at him, it's not funny about what he's doing. But also your mother-in-law is actually on your side right now.
Really? Because she wasn't.
Yeah, but now she's under obligation to be on your side. She taught her son a lot of bad tricks. She taught her son men could get away with murder. And she can't rest in peace until your life's a little bit better. And your intention in leaving him is not to hurt him, but it is for him to understand enough is enough. But your mom is crying a little bit. She never would want to see you going through so much.
Which I never see my mom cry. She's a very, very strong person.
But understand, for her, she loves you the way you would love your own daughter, the way you love people. It's very painful for her to watch because she's not there to help you. Again, I don't think your mom had to go through what you're going through. So she may have been strong,
mm-hmm.
but she didn't have to live quite through this mess.
Right.
Nor would she want you to have to go through this. She tries
right.
to give you messages of comfort. I don't know if you get them.
I try to, like, before I go to bed at night, like, ask to have a dream, but I can't remember anything. What should I be looking for?
Sometimes it's just a thought form. You know, my mom wasn't the warmest, fuzziest mom on earth. And she was a good mom in terms of working and, you know, feeding us and that kind of stuff. But she wasn't a warm, fuzzy mom. She was Finnish. She was rather Germanic in her nature.
I'm sorry to hear about all these bad moms because I had a wonderful mom. I'm
I
like,
know.
I,
and
I shouldn't even be calling here. I'm like,
no,
oh, my gosh.
But it's good you had a good mom. But when my mom comes through now, I hear a thought form, and it's usually when I'm really nervous about a situation. And she just says this, the same thing every time. Relax, it'll all work out.
I hear that. I think I hear that from her, too.
That's what your mom's saying she says. And that's sort of what moms say. They just put, relax, it'll all work
right.
out.
Right, because then you can think better, like you said. I always say, if I said you become a banana head, the juices don't flow. Just
exactly.
what you're telling everybody.
And that's what maybe the message for everyone today was what we had last week, was a little bit of patience, a little bit of why is your life hell? Why are so many people's lives hell? Because there are a lot of manipulative unfixables. I call them the unfixables. The
right, what we can't fix.
Judge everybody else. We've been spending our whole life trying to fix these people. And what has it done? It's made our life
no.
a sinking Titanic.
Right. We have to forget it and leave them and worry about us more.
Right. And that's what your mom's saying. That's what your mother-in-law is saying.
Is my dad there at all?
It's funny because there's also behind your dad another man who might be your father's father. Do you know your grandpa?
No, but I have pictures of him. It could be my Uncle John. It could be his
Uncle,
father.
Okay, because
there's so many relatives.
He's surrounded by, I think this one is his dad, by the way. And your dad and them are both basically saying, we got your back. I mean, you got this group of men, you know, your uncle, your grandfather, your father, some of your father's friends, lined up. They look like the FBI. Lined up.
Well, they were all Gumbadas, probably
right,
Indian all of them there.
Right. They're like, look like, the you
the
think
mafia.
He's going to mess with you? And I'm laughing because they are an army up there who will help you in every way. But we have to just relax, and we have to just know we're doing what we have to do. We're, you know, it's not pleasant, a divorce. It's a financial, emotional, psychological,
yes.
spiritual earthquake.
Yes,
it
yes.
doesn't feel good. It shakes all your beliefs. Again, what God did not teach was you made your bed, lie in it. I refuse to believe that God would tell a woman, and when Jesus walked the earth, he was very adamant about this. If a woman falls for a prince and he turns out to be the beast, he's beating her and raping her children. Do you think God would say, ha-ha, you got to stay? I don't
no.
think so. Those were rules written by bad people to keep the good people in line.
Right, to keep us afraid.
And what you were blessed to have a good mother, and those of us who didn't have the best ones had to learn there's no blindly honoring our parents. Some people have to learn you didn't make your bed, lie in it. Other people have to learn you're not your brother's keeper. You can't keep rescuing these people. You go down like a sinking ship with them. And once we learn these lessons, life gets a lot easier. Now, the dead up there, like your mom, they were good people, your mom and dad. They always knew the world wasn't exactly what they thought it was. But nobody
saw this
to be exactly what it is. I mean, they had blinders on. They believed people were fixable. They believed people learned. They believe
right.
that. We're pretty much, the world has gotten infinitely worse because of television and because
and
of
the bar. The bar is set so low.
Right.
What are
and,
they
and
saying, like, I should do, like, financially and everything? Are they saying
right
anything?
Right now, not too much because your husband will want maintenance. So he'll be coming after you. So basically, until the divorce is through, you know, start thinking what you might want to be doing, but don't make yourself
crazy.
Look like you're making so much money because he'll just be a person who will.
Well, my boy
said
he's not going to get it because he's got 3 degrees and he's not doing anything.
Again, somehow his lawyer can come up with another story that he's disabled and you have to support him. So let's just, you know, you keep thinking about what you want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you
and
will
just
get
go
it
for it.
And have it all ready in place.
Okay.
But
ask them everything that I've been doing in the last couple of weeks. Is that a good thing?
Yes. And your dad said, watch your back. with him. Watch your back, which means don't underestimate him.
No, I know. I don't trust him at all.
Good.
Will this man ever sit down and talk to me to settle anything out?
What, are you kidding me?
You're so funny.
You know what they do, these narcissists? They're just hoping they bust our balls so much that we drop dead. That's what they want.
I think that's what he's trying. I think he's hoping that I'll drop dead and have a heart attack, but I think I'm not. I think I have a pretty good support system here.
That's what I'm telling you. Don't get yourself sick. There's divine anger, and which is righteous anger, and there's mortal anger. Don't get yourself wanting to throw grenades at him or him throwing grenades. Just stay at a sense of peace. Just the facts. Deal with the facts. Don't take it personally what
right.
he does. Don't attack him personally. Just, it's a business arrangement that's being taught, that
that's
is being terminated now.
What do they say about my sons or anything? Are they saying anything? Because my one son, my youngest, he wants to be like either a firefighter, police officer, and
he'll be divinely watched over. Okay, don't worry, he's a good boy, and just know that your dad loves him very much. He's a very good boy. For your son's sake, they need to see that men can't abuse women. So it's very important what you're doing.
Is there anything else with my other son?
You know, your kids actually look pretty good. Your mom's asking you to pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself, and to not worry about anybody but yourself right now. You got enough on your plate, don't you?
Yeah, I do. What about my friends? Tell them I'm worried about them. They know who they are.
Again, you got enough on your own plate, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but
okay.
These other friends are like family that they know.
I know. And again, you're not in a position to be helping too many people right now, are you?
Just be there for them.
Be there for them. Be positive. Be supportive. But, you know, right now, you know, leave it in the hands of their spirit guides, too.
Okay.
And God helps those who help themselves. Sometimes people have to start helping themselves a little more.
Okay. I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. You know what I'm telling you, okay?
Yeah. I wanted to ask you also, what about, because now that I have the house sale, should I get an apartment? Do I buy right away? Do you see anything there?
Okay, what your mom is saying is take one step at a time. Get a little apartment. Get acclimated to living alone with not too much to take care of and responsibility, because your life can change on a dime. You could meet somebody wonderful and be moving somewhere else. You could take some time to find an inexpensive place, maybe get a good deal on something, but it's too much to do it all at once.
Right, just take my time. If I find a place, get it. If not,
if you happen to, you know, find something, if the universe is so kind, if you tell them what you want and you see it, then go for it.
Right.
But you know, the most important thing is know that your mom keeps saying it's all going to work out very well for you.
Are they all okay up there?
Yeah. Anyway, we're at the end of our show, so I really have to
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. And let's call in again. And Nicole, do you have a shout out for anybody tonight?
Actually, you know what? My shout out is going to be to, and I do this, you know, pretty frequently, but to all of our callers who consistently listen and consistently support you. And again, Cindy never ever plugs herself. So she does have a new book out, guys, and please visit Amazon, look it up, and if you don't have the first one, get the first one too. You know, Cindy does a great, great thing here by just giving of herself every week, you know, because she is so limited on time and she is so busy and she wants to give back to people, and this is her way of giving back. So please, with whatever you can, just go over and support Cindy, and thank you for supporting us by listening.
Thank you so much. And, of course, if you join Amazon Prime, you can get the Kindle for free. So.
Ooh.
Since I buy everything on Amazon, I'm definitely a Prime girl.
There you go.
Well, good night, everybody, and we'll all speak next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.